9:13 on a Wednesday, hump day. The Gunner's off doing being Mother Teresa. So we're going to check the news, and then I want to kind of talk about the investigation into an aviation mishap that happened in 29 Palms last November. So I somehow or other missed that. Now, I've been looking for it, trust me, and I'm pissed that I missed it, but that is the way it is. So not too much I can do about it now other than unscrew myself, though I will endeavor to do that today. There's some much interesting stuff in the news today in the early bird, so we're going to talk about that a little bit. Most of it DOD stuff, not all of it Marine Corps stuff, but a lot of it has to do, you know, we shoot down a missile. Oh, yeah, you think you putting a missile in the air is a big deal? Guess what? We shoot those things down, okay? Yeah, we shoot them down. So we exercised that technology yesterday in front of the world. And so that in the news. So we'll take a look at the news here real quick. And then there's a really disturbing story. There happened another version of it. Happened over the weekend when a Navy SEAL that was part of their parachute team died in New York City's annual Fleet Week. It's the fifth jump death fatality since 2013. Yeah, I mean that's too many. So there's a few things in the news that we'll get to, that being one of them. But the I guess at the top of above the fold news, DOD early bird type is a direct collision, as opposed to a tangential collision, for U.S. Homeland Missile Defense Interceptor against an intercontinental ballistic missile. So yesterday, much covered, but the United States exercised its ability to knock a missile down. So from the Defense News, a monumental intercept test for the United States' critical homeland defense system designed to defend against intercontinental ballistic missile threats from North Korea and Iran was a success. The Missile Defense Agency announced Tuesday shortly after the test. The test marks the first time the ground-based mid-course defense system has gone up against an ICBM-class target, although some previous tests have featured intermediate-range ballistic missile targets that have approached ICBM speeds. During the test conducted by the MDA in cooperation with U.S. Air Force 30th Space Wing, an ICBM-class target was launched from the Reagan test site on Kwajalein Atoll in the Republic of the Marshall Islands, according to an MDA statement released shortly after the test. A ground-based interceptor was launched from Vandenberg Air Force Base in California, think Santa Barbara area, north of Los Angeles along the coast. As designed, its exo-atmospheric kill vehicle intercepted and destroyed the target in a direct collision. The intercept of a complex threat representative ICBM target is an incredible accomplishment for the GMD system and a critical milestone for the program, MDA Director Vice Admiral Jim Searing said in a statement. This system is vitally important to the defense of our homeland, and this test demonstrates that we have a capable deterrent against a very real threat. So pretty interesting stuff. And they have a pretty cool map on there that shows the trajectory. It launched in Kwajalein, which is obviously west of Hawaii, between Hawaii and Japan. And then as the Earth is round, it tends to fly a shorter trajectory, which is north, and the missile shows the track of the missile launched from Southern California intercepted well north of Hawaii, just a little bit south of the Alaska's Aleutian Islands, which kind of trail towards the Korean Peninsula, the Kamchatka Peninsula, if you will. So anyway, so pretty interesting little event yesterday, designed to send a message certainly to North Korea that, look, yeah, it's all good, but when those things get blown out of the sky and you don't have this capability and we rain them down on your ass, yeah, you'll probably regret the fact that you placed too much stock in them. So anyway, so that's the top of the fold, early bird. There's also, as we do the dance in Syria, as Mosul comes to an end, and where they're at in Mosul is the I think they call it the ancient city, the ancient part of Mosul is now the only thing that is still owned, or at least has, that is not in the hands of the Iraqi military. So the next phase of this is a couple of incidents. The U.S. is beginning to arm Kurdish fighters for the Raqqa assault, which is does not make Turkey happy. Okay, so the United States, we've done this dance for years relative. We've done this dance for years relative to Turkey and the Kurds, and so it is what it is now. And so Turkey, I think, wants to flex its muscles and attempt to be a dominant player in the region, but the Iraqi Kurds certainly are no threat. The PKK inside of Turkey, certainly Turkey has its right to its own sovereign borders and deals with terrorism inside of it. In fact, according to General Mattis yesterday, the only NATO country that's dealing with an active insurgency inside of its own country is Turkey with the PKK. Now, other people would say, I don't really agree with that. What do you call ISIS in all these different European countries? Is that not an insurgency? So I would tend to side on the side of James Mattis. That's just me. I could be wrong, but as long as you're standing by him, you're going to look awful smart. So I'll go ahead and throw in with that. Thank you very much. So again, if you look up TANF is the name of the city in Iraq. It's right on the Iraq-Syria border. So if you look it up, you'll see that's where a little bit of a confrontation is brewing between the United States and really Iran. So United States, holy shit, man. But, you know, I think the key thing to remember is when we go there with our allies, there's not a whole lot anybody can do about it. There's not a whole lot the Iranians can do about it because they can't hang with us. And for too long, we have I would say under President Obama, he painted us as a weak country. And so people are going to have to learn to respect the United States again, and it's not going to come without some bloodshed. So anyway, if you take a look at Military Times today, you'll see the story. But the gist of it is a U.S. aircraft over the weekend dropped a series of leaflets around the border crossing between Syria and Iraq, warning pro-Syrian regime militia to avoid the deconfliction zone around a small base there. Officials at the Pentagon have acknowledged that pro-regime forces are active in the area and were conducting armed patrols in the vicinity of TANF. U.S. and British special forces are use the facility to train Syrian opposition forces for the fight against ISIS, according to U.S. Central Command officials. The deconfliction zone encompasses a 55-kilometer radius around the base. These patrols and the continued armed and hostile presence of pro-regime forces inside the deconfliction zone is unacceptable and threatening to coalition forces. The massing of hundreds of pro-regime forces outside of TAMP was described as dangerous and a direct threat to coalition forces by CENTCOM officials. It also sets up a potential showdown between U.S. forces aligned, U.S. and the forces aligned with Syrian President Bashar al-Assad. So, and there's a little map in there as well. So, yeah, that's in Military Times today. So take a look at it. You're going to see what we're dealing with relative to, that area. So it's kind of interesting, that, you know, we're, so up in Mosul, which is on the north side, then you, as you go west, you have Tal Afar, Sinjar, and then you get to the Syrian border. TAMP is inside of what used to be, you know, area directly across from Marine controlled area on the southwestern corner of Iraq. There's an area called Walid and another place called Trabil, and Trabil is down by the Jordanian border, but Walid is just across from Syria, and they were places where Marines were sent. There's another place called Al-Rutba, and Will Cosentini, who was on yesterday with Gunnar and I here in the third hour, if he was on today, and I might see him tonight just coincidentally, but if Will was on, he would tell you about him. TAMP is across the Syrian border from a place called Walid. So if you can find that on your map, you know, good luck to you. But that is the next place. And really, to me, what it sounds like is this is your warning notice, okay? Because we've done this dance here a little bit, and you're obviously not cooperating. And so we are getting ready to turn it loose on you. We're getting ready to turn it loose on you, and so you best heed our counsel, or you're going to wind up dead. So if you go, in Western Iraq, you'll find these cities, and not too close to. It's interesting, though. There's a U.S. Marine Corps battery. I believe there's two of them now. What's interesting is how far into Syria that Raqqa is. And there is no, even yesterday when you heard General Mattis talk about going to Raqqa as the next phase, beginning to set the conditions to go to Raqqa, that is no small that is no small distance into Syria. No small distance into Syria. And pretty amazing, honestly. And you know, again, what's been so interesting in terms of just kind of viewing the conflict is this. When you take a look at it, what have you noticed since, you know, the Trump administration has taken over? Not a whole lot of fanfare going on, right? But an awful lot of activity. So that's what you're getting. And now TAMP is across the border from Walid, and the CENTCOM putting them on notice. Hey, back away there, kids, or something bad is about to happen. So that's a number two story. Number three, U.S. begins arming the Syrian Kurds, fighters for the Raqqa assault. Now, again, Syrian Kurdish fighters different from Iraq Kurdish fighters. So that is something that, again, forces against Bashar al-Assad. The story about the Kabul bombing kills at least 80, shaking the center and the diplomatic part of the city. And also a story out of from Reuters is South Korea's new leader, President Moon Jae-in, has ordered a probe after the defense ministry, according to him, failed to inform him that four more launchers of the controversial U.S. THAAD anti-missile system had been brought into the country, his spokesman said on Tuesday. So not sure what that is all about, but certainly film at 11. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about this parachute incident, which is disturbing. And then I want to talk about an investigation, F-18 type, and the implications of that. More of All Marine Radio coming up next right here on the All Warrior Radio Network. All you Mustangs, listen up. The Marine Corps Mustang Association is comprised of Marine Corps officers and officers from other military services who share a common background. They are a group of men and women who initially enlisted and served with distinction in the Marine Corps and the Marine Corps Reserve Enlisted rank. The term Mustang refers to a commissioned or warrant officer who has risen from the enlisted ranks. The Marine Corps Mustang Association was founded by Captain Robert Richter, United States Marine Corps retired, in Philadelphia on 10 November 1985 as a nonprofit veteran service organization. In their 33rd year of existence, the association continues to dedicate itself to the advocacy of professional development and the encouragement of younger Marines, demonstrating a pathway for advancement and offering mentoring, advice, and camaraderie over the course of their military service and civilian careers. The Marine Corps Mustang Association is looking for a few good Mustangs to join their association. Contact them via their website, MarineCorpsMustang.org. I say again, MarineCorpsMustang.org. Find them on Facebook, go ahead and like them. Most importantly, join their association so that they can continue to do the great work that they've done for the past 33 years.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner, proven and dependable.
Are you looking for the perfect gift for somebody who's in the military? For a first responder? For a hunter? For an outdoorsman? Or somebody that just likes cool military stuff? I've got the perfect gift for you. The Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out. BattleMug.com.
My name is Juan Perez Jr. I joined the military in 98. I commissioned as an officer. But I always had in mind the idea that I would go into the special operations community, particularly the special forces. I was accepted to go into selection, and I attended on September 8th of 2001.
/Marines.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
/9:34 on a Wednesday, hump day. Email says this. I was driving when you were interviewing Corporal Caruso. I just want to say that made my day. Often we hear about the disrespect and how so many people forget. And it's just very cool to hear such a warm story when it's done well, it's done right for the right reason. So God bless him. Awesome story. Thanks for having him on. Now, you know what? Let me tell you, one of the great things about this job is I've crossed paths with those kind of guys. Right? Richard Caruso. Bob Nielsen's another one. Nielsen and Caruso are the same character. They're just in different bodies. They love the Marine Corps, and they've been touched by it, and they've spent their lives giving back. And Nielsen is the same way, man. He heard me talking about Captain Luis Avila yesterday, who's just a terrible singer, but come back from the dead, and I'll listen to him sing any day of the week. And Nielsen said, I know both of them. Let me talk to them and see if they'll come on. And so, I mean, it's incredible. And these are guys, if you ask them, you know, why they're doing what they're doing, they're like, come on, man, why am I doing it? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? So, here's an interesting email. Mac, just want to make a quick comment on our test yesterday. Who do you think that was designed? Who do you think that was primarily designed for? Question mark. And then he writes, pause here and reflect for a second before you answer. Well, you know, who do I think it's designed for? My own opinion, line them up. Iran, Russia, China, North Korea. The email goes on. All right, now that you've sufficiently thought about it, let me give you the answer. The answer to that is China. This was a message to China that if you think that we are fucking around with North Korea, you are high. You better get that dog on a leash, because if it does come to a shooting war, what we just showed you was a peek behind the curtain. It will not end well for North Korea. There will be a destabilized Korean peninsula. And you will be looked at as somebody who could have prevented it and chose not to. It will be interesting to see how China reacts to all of this. Nikki Haley, I saw a video of her, the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, said that China was working behind the scenes to attempt to influence North Korea. But again, I'll stick with Grant Newsham. Until I see it, until they do something, I'm struggling, because for 25 years they haven't done anything. All right. Poll: Americans respect all branches of the military, but the Air Force takes the lead. What? All right, let's take a look at the poll. Overall, Americans like all five branches of the military. However, the Air Force is the most important branch among 27% of Americans, while 21% say the Army is the most important, according to the Gallup poll. The Air Force was also found to be the most important in both 2001 and 2002, 4 months before 9/11, and shortly after the war in Afghanistan began. In recent years, the Air Force has been at the forefront of the fight against the Islamic State, leading an air campaign, blah, 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 blah. Confidence, however, in each branch is separated only by a few points. 59% say that of Americans selected very favorable on the poll for Marines, while Air Force fell closely behind at 57%. Yeah, hadn't been a good year for the Marine Corps in terms of our OPR. We have not covered ourselves in glory. So it's amazing that we're at the upper echelon of that one. The Navy. Fatal seal, this is from Navy Times, fatal seal skydiving incident is the fifth in 4 years for the elite unit. The stunning accident that claimed the life of a Navy SEAL, an elite parachutist, on Sunday during New York City's annual Fleet Week was the SEAL's fifth jump death since 2013. A fatality that could renew safety concerns that have drawn the attention of the top brass of U.S. Special Operations Command in recent years. Special Warfare Operator First Class Remington Peters died during a freefall jump near Liberty Island, New York City, after the Navy said in a release, quote, his parachute malfunctioned. Peters' death was the first for the Special Operations community since five operators across the SOCOM Enterprise died in jump incidents in 2015. The spike prompted the brass to call a temporary halt to all freefall training while the command reviewed its procedures and requalified all its instructors and operators in the high-risk jumps. For Navy Special Warfare, jump accidents have claimed as many lives as combat operations over the course of the last 4 years. During 2013, three SEALs, an explosive ordnance disposal technician, and a cryptologic technician, assigned to Naval Special Warfare, have been killed in action, according to the SEAL Foundation website that tracks such things. In February, Military Times review of jump incidents investigation spanning 13 years involving Army, Navy, and Air Force Special Operations personnel revealed troubling training shortfalls, lapsed jump qualifications, and a number of accidents and deaths, at least partially attributed to overconfidence on the part of the jumpers or their trainers. Between 2011 and 2016, 11 operators from the Special Operations community died in jump accidents, a 60% increase over the previous five-year period, according to 13 years' worth of records obtained and analyzed by Military Times. So, yeah, I will tell you this. It's head-shaking. It's head-shaking. And you know, you have experts that are quoted in this article. Quote, the Navy Leapfrogs is a premier professional team, and safety is number one in training and how they execute their demonstration, said Jeff Reeves, a former naval officer who served as the Leapfrog's officer in charge a decade ago. Skydiving is a high-risk activity, but given all the safeguards, I don't know how things like this could have happened. And again, you're talking about five in 4 years. Main canopy failures are extremely rare, but it can happen. If the jumper's body is not in the proper arch position, if the parachute is packed improperly, also very rare, or if the equipment rig is worn out, somehow defective. So, anyway, so it goes on to talk about that. But just simply the number of incidents, it's chilling. The fifth in 4 years for this elite unit. So, certainly something that you just shake your head at. You know, obviously, how could this happen? We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about F-18 investigation out of 3rd MOD down at Miramar. It actually was published in March. I didn't see it. A friend of mine brought it to my attention yesterday. So we'll take a quick break. More of All Marine Radio coming up next right here on the All Warrior Radio Network. All you Mustangs, listen up. The Marine Corps Mustang Association is comprised of Marine Corps officers and officers from other military services who share a common background. They are a group of men and women who initially enlisted and served with distinction in the Marine Corps and the Marine Corps Reserve enlisted rank. The term Mustang refers to a commissioned or warrant officer who has risen from the enlisted ranks. The Marine Corps Mustang Association was founded by Captain Robert Richter, United States Marine Corps retired, in Philadelphia on 10 November 1985 as a nonprofit veteran service organization. In their 33rd year of existence, the association continues to dedicate itself to the advocacy of professional development and the encouragement of younger Marines, demonstrating a pathway for advancement and offering mentoring, advice, and camaraderie over the course of their military service and civilian careers. The Marine Corps Mustang Association is looking for a few good Mustangs to join their association. Contact them via their website, MarineCorpsMustang.org. I say again, MarineCorpsMustang.org. Find them on Facebook. Go ahead and like them. Most importantly, join their association so that they can continue to do the great work that they've done for the past 33 years. Are you looking for the perfect gift for somebody who's in the military? For a first responder? For a hunter? For an outdoorsman? Or somebody that just likes cool military stuff? I've got the perfect gift for you. The Battle Mug. Starts as 10 pounds of aluminum. It's milled, machined, anodized, adorned with Picatinny rails, and then stamped with the serial number, and it's ready for you to make your own. Anything that went on your rifle or pistol can go on your mug. Scope, laser, camera, light. Put a lid on it, and you're ready for the field. If you're inside, add a flag and an emblem, and you're set. Perfect for any commemorative event. Farewell, promotion, retirement, birthday, anniversary, or get out of the doghouse. The Battle Mug is the perfect unique gift. Check out the entire line of product at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. Battle Mug is a veteran-owned and operated company. The product is made entirely in the United States. Check it out, BattleMug.com.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
My name is Juan Perez, Jr. I joined the military in 98. I commissioned as an officer. But I always had in mind the idea that I would go into the special operations community, particularly special forces. I was accepted to go into selection, and I attended on September 8th of 2001. As I was making my departure out of the military, there was that uncertainty. What do I do next? How do I repurpose my skills in a way that's not only meaningful to me, but also that provides for my family and provides an increase in our a way of living, a quality of life. The Global South Foundation has resources when it comes to anything from building resumes to how to relate to a CEO in conversation, how to basically, again, repurpose that which I had learned in a career in special operations, dealing at the strategic and operational level. How do I take that and then turn it towards entrepreneurial spirit into business development? And how do I translate that so somebody can see that value? And in doing so, I landed a magnificent and very rewarding career. I'm the VP of operations for an IT company called BuildSourced. What I say to veterans getting out, be bold. Be bold when you go to network. Go out to the Global South website, look at what events they have lined up, attend those events, you know, and participate. A lot of the events they hold, they're of key importance in this network. Go out there and engage, just like you would engage in a combat zone, you know, when you're networking there. With folks that don't share necessarily your language, your culture, or your background, and yet we still make it happen. How can we not make it happen here?
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
9:49 on a Wednesday, Memorial Day. Memorial Day itself, not to be confused with the Memorial Day weekend, which is separate, but Memorial Day, as it was christened, May 31st. So we're going to talk about here an article that was, it was written at the time an investigation was released, something that I've been tracking, but somehow or other missed, and I'm pissed about it, to be honest with you, because it, it was significant in our discussion. Last November, there was an incident at the Marine Corps Air Ground Combat Center in which an F-18 pilot was killed on a night strafing run. His call sign, a stranger, and his name, Major Richard Norton, F-18 pilot, Top Gun guy, a highly qualified pilot. One of the things that came out of our discussion that day was that the results of the investigation were going to be very important. And what the results of the investigation were going to reveal, one, two things. Here's a highly, highly qualified, decorated pilot, Top Gun guy, combat tours. And he did not have enough time in that cockpit to be proficient. He was current, but he wasn't proficient. Or it was going to reveal that the aircraft blew apart. Now, the day after the aircraft, the crash happened at night. And the following day, the Washington Post, a guy, a former Marine named Thomas Gibbons Neff, got a hyphenated name, he wrote that the aircraft broke up before it impacted. Now, how the hell would he know that? Sitting in Washington, D.C. Somebody called. And so a colleague of mine, Kurt Knowles, who's an F-18 guy, he said, you know, Mac, how would somebody know? You'd have to be staring at the airplane that was inbound. Okay, you would have to be looking specifically at the aircraft. And how would you be doing this? On night vision goggles from afar? And then you're then somehow you see that you pick up a phone and call this reporter with the Washington Post, and then he has no way of corroborating it with another source, and he runs it to the detriment of the family because it wasn't true. Now this is my problem at the time was reporter and the technical definition of such a thing of being a reporter, okay? And normally it requires multiple sources to verify something like that. Now, it makes it, in my opinion, it makes it worse that this Neff guy, former Marine, I believe he's an infantry guy, he doesn't know better than to restrain himself from speculating that which he can't confirm. Okay, and so I withheld judgment, you know, until, and that's why I want to see, I wanted to see the investigation. All right, Richard Norton is described as a gifted aviator and a Marine officer, graduate of both Top Gun School and the Marine Corps Weapons and Tactics Instructor Corps. So he's a WTI. Okay, so those are big time badges that aviators wear. His Hornet crashed while he was practicing strafing targets at night near Marine Corps Air Ground Combat Center, 29 Palms. He was assigned to VMFA 232. The investigation notes, strafing runs at night are challenging maneuvers for pilots. Quote, the difference between a successful strafe attack and one that ends in catastrophe can be a matter of seconds. And that's what Kurt Knowles said the day after. The aircraft engines, flight controls, and systems were functioning as designed. So that means the aircraft did not come apart before it hit the deck. I just, you know, to me, my hate gets going when I see reporters do that stuff. So what is your standard for a Marine who becomes a reporter that reports that stuff? Yeah, your hate even gets greater. On July 28th, Norton had already conducted two dives when he radioed that he only had enough fuel and ammunition for one more strafing run, according to the investigation. FA-18 pilots have speculated that Norton was already calculating how long he would need to pull the trigger to use up his remaining ammunition and how he would fly back to base on his remaining fuel. These mental calculations, while not casual, become the first of several distractors during dive number 3 that led to Major Norton being cognitively saturated, the investigation found. Norton began his third dive lower, and these are the mechanics of it. He began his third dive lower and faster than his previous one, according to the investigation. He pulled the trigger 1,100 feet below the last dive, so we're talking seconds here, and 400 feet below his safe escape altitude. The flashes from the gun likely prevented him from seeing a warning on his heads-up display that he was too low, the investigation determined. An audio warning telling him to pull up, pull up, pull up was delayed by 1.1 seconds, likely because the warning system recalculated when Norton increased the angle of his dive. Quote, in a dive that already contained a procedural error, this additional 1.1 seconds did not give Major Norton the time or altitude necessary to recover the plane without activating the paddle switch once the warning was enunciated, the investigation says. Death was ruled an accident. The investigation provided lessons learned and recommendations for improvements to pilot technique and software systems in the FA-18 that can help improve safety in the future, according to Third MAS spokesman, a captain by the name of Stahl. We will work with Naval Air Systems Command and other entities to look for better ways to automate these systems and improve design to help prevent similar accidents in the future. Anyway, my point and the reason I wanted to talk about this today was that at the time that this happened, we had guys come on and they talked about, you know, what you and really what they do is explain stuff to the rest of us. Okay, what happened, what a pilot's doing when he's going to run a strafing run. You know, and we've done this repeatedly. You know, I wish I could remember his name, Marine Corps Captain Blue Angel outside of Nashville was killed. We have pilots that will come on and just talk about how busy it is and how, you know, you have seconds to make those decisions. And I want to say that they're, so, you know, we go through this as an organization. It just bothered me incredibly that you would have the Washington Post speculate relative to the crash. And, you know, and again, to me, it's this unholy competition that we see all the time in the media for to be first. And I just and when you see another military guy, especially a Marine, do it to your own service, it just leaves you empty. So, anyway. Yeah, I don't feel good about it. I'm not happy about it. I just think they should know better. I think they should know better. That'll do it on a Wednesday. My thanks to, in order of appearance, Chris Woodbridge. You'll hear him coming up next. But Chris Woodbridge, My thanks to Richard Caruso for coming on and doing what he does. Caruso, the man about the United States, making good things happen wherever he goes. But no, up in the city of Scio, New York, the home of Corporal Jason Dunham and Richard Caruso, doing good things. And so good on him. And again, thoughts and prayers to the Dunham family, and very cool that they had the weekend that they had. And again, can't say thank you enough to guys like Richard Caruso, guys like Bob Nielsen, who continue to be incredible ambassadors for the Marine Corps and do great stuff. Most of all, thanks to you for listening. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Subscribe to the podcast. And you'll meet these people. And again, at some point, the Dunhams will join us here and talk about their son and their experience. And Caruso will be on when that happens. So, with that said, on a Wednesday, we're out. Have a great afternoon. Chris Woodbridge, next.
New York about